Alembic Light Podcast Season 2, Unspoken Truths, where you'll learn all about fantastic, simple and effective tips and strategies to transform your health. I'm Manisha Blanchley, your host, creator of Limbic Light Podcast, with more than 40 years experience helping people in the natural health field. And with us, we have co-host David Niven Miller, creator of growyouthful.com website, an extensive resource on natural remedies. Welcome, everybody. We are back for another episode of Unspoken Truths. And with me is David Niven Miller, our co-host. So welcome, David. How are you?
Hi, Manisha. Thank you.
So today's topic is blood thinners, and what a great topic to be speaking about. I think it's very pertinent for what's going on in this day and age. So David, maybe you can tell us a little bit about why we might want to be having natural blood thinners for us in this current time.
Yeah, one of the biggest selling pharmaceutical products are pharmaceutical blood thinners. They're very widely used. So people in today's environment are quite scared of blood clots, heart attacks, strokes, and they're one of the most prevalent forms of death at the moment. So an enormous number of people are taking a pharmaceutical blood thinner of one sort or another. And this comes down to, as part of a healthy lifestyle, you should be avoiding all pharmaceutical products, because pharmaceutical products always have side effects. Of the range of pharmaceutical and factory-made blood thinners, probably the least harmful and one of the most popular of all is aspirin, which is a type of salicylic acid. But even aspirin has side effects if you're taking it as a regular medication. Aspirin can cause gastrointestinal ulcers of sorts or stomach bleeding. It's been known to have close associations with other ailments like tinnitus as well, especially when taken in high doses. But some of the most common pharmaceutical blood thinners are like warfarin, clopidogrel, and a number of others. So it's a really good idea, if you feel that you need a blood thinner, to look at what natural blood thinners are and enjoy the benefits of taking a food or a completely natural product, as opposed to the inevitable side effects that come with taking any kind of pharmaceutical product or usually any kind of medication as well.
Yes, I agree with that. Prevention is always better also than cure, in my mind. So if people are introducing these natural blood thinners into their daily life and lifestyle, then hopefully we can actually prevent the need to be taking a medication further down the track. Yeah. I also wanted to mention, David, that we are seeing, it seems to be almost an unprecedented amount of clot type of conditions in, there's a lot of strokes around that I'm aware of, a lot of people with clots in the blood or deep vein thrombosis, even very small microclots that are causing problems that are often misdiagnosed almost as a type of a musculoskeletal problem in the legs or the arms. I've become aware of that. I've often asked whether it could even be a possible side effect from some of the new experimental COVID inoculations that are being given. There has been a lot of reports saying that clots are an issue of these medications. So I am actually very concerned about this condition, and I'd really love people to take this subject on board so that, yeah, hopefully we can prevent some of these problems.
Yeah, there's been an extraordinary increase in blood clots and inflammation of the arteries, of the blood vessels, of the heart. These kind of problems have had an unprecedented increase since 2020. The number of young people in particular who've been affected by these new kinds of problems is just extraordinary. In the history of medicine, it's unheard of for people in their 20s and 30s to be getting these level of heart and circulatory problems. It's just absolutely unprecedented. Mm. So something major has happened, and we are probably not at liberty to discuss it in full detail to the extent that I'd like. But there's no question. All the research is showing that there are unprecedented levels of blood clot type problems and circulatory type problems and internal inflammation. And the cause is moot. But it's very opportune to look at natural blood thinners rather than the pharmaceutical recommended solutions and look at what we can do for real health and genuine health at this point.
Yes, and at this point, before we actually dive into what some of these natural blood thinners might be, I wanted to mention that there's some simple tests that can be done to check the level of clottiness, you could say, or thickness or stickiness of your blood. And I wanted to just mention some of those. One of the most simple ones is if you have a naturopath or know of somebody who does live blood analysis, basically that involves a microscope using dark field microscopy. All it requires is a tiny little pinprick of your blood put onto a little glass plate and it's observed underneath the microscope. And typically what we should be seeing is we see nice round red blood cells that swim freely through the serum, throughout the fluid. However, when there is a level of clottiness, or we could call it stickiness, those little red blood cells, they start to clump together. And sometimes they even look as if they are squashed together into one huge conglomerate, you could actually say. They call this rouleau assessment. So that's one method. And the other one is a D-dimer test, which is a blood test which you can get from a doctor. And D-dimer actually tests for the amount of proteins in your blood that are being broken down from little microclots. So it indicates more of a recent formed clot and how fast they're breaking down. Not many doctors actually do these, but they're starting to become more popular now. So if you've got high levels in your D-dimer, that usually shows a clot. And of course, I wanted to mention that most people think of clots as something really palpable and big. And the most common assessment that you can use for that is a Doppler test with an ultrasound where you can actually see a mass, but you won't actually always see that mass in microclots. And that's what we're actually talking about today, probably more so, is we're addressing the small scale little clottiness in the blood. So I just wanted to mention that. So David, I'd like to hand it back to you, and maybe you could launch into some of your most favorite blood thinners that you would recommend someone to use.
Yeah, the primary blood thinner that I would use is cayenne pepper. It's an extraordinary product, and it's got some really interesting characteristics. So if I ever had an embolism or a blood clot that I was able to identify myself in an emergency situation, the first thing I would do is get a glass of warm water, and I'd get some cayenne pepper, which I always have in my kitchen cupboard. And I would dissolve a full teaspoon of cayenne pepper in a glass of warm water and chug it back. And yes, it is hot, and yes, it might be painful doing that, but within seconds, it's an amazing blood thinner. So if you get access to cayenne pepper quick enough, it is just as effective as some of, or even more effective than some of the pharmaceutical, what they call blood unclotters, clot busters, they call them. So cayenne pepper is very useful there, not only in an emergency situation, but it's a fantastic product to take every day. If you take, say, a quarter teaspoon of cayenne pepper every day, you will have a better circulatory system. And I do exactly that. In my main meal each day, I put a quarter teaspoon of cayenne pepper just about every day. I like it. I like the heat that it adds, but it's a fantastic supplement to take. Mm-hmm. And just as an aside, Manisha, cayenne pepper's got two other really very useful uses. One of them is as a hormetic, which is fantastic for increasing longevity. So small quantities of cayenne pepper actually stress your digestive system slightly. And limited time controlled stress is actually really good for general health and for your longevity. And taking a small daily dose of cayenne pepper is actually a really good hormetic stressor. And there's some fairly new research which is showing that taking a little bit of heat every day is really good for your health and longevity. And some bigger studies looking at large populations in India, which have shown that those populations that take stressors in their diet through hot foods actually have better health outcomes than people who never use spices in general, the hot spices, that is. The other interesting thing about cayenne pepper, another really good property, is it's not only a blood thinner, but paradoxically, it does the opposite. If you have a really bad cut that's bleeding profusely, and I've used it myself here, I've had a bad cut that's bleeding a lot. You put a teaspoon of cayenne pepper on the open wound. And it stings, yeah, but not for long. It stings a lot, but not for long. But it's a fantastic product to stop bleeding. It's just quite amazing that it, on the one hand, that it enhances your blood flow and acts as a blood thinner. Mm-hmm. But in combination with an open wound, it actually stops bleeding. So it's quite an amazing product.
That's fantastic.
I really recommend having it in your kitchen cupboard.
So, yes, indeed. And I have actually heard of that remedy being used for emergency such as stroke or heart attack if you're really waiting for an ambulance to arrive or someone with paramedical assistance, having that cayenne on hand for the stroke or the heart attack may actually be the life-saving turning point. So that's a fantastic one.
Oh, like by the way, in an emergency situation, if you had a glass of warm cayenne pepper, mm-hmm. Let anybody who attends to you know that so that they can understand that you've already had some kind of clot buster.
Okay, excellent. Now, I looked at your list this morning and I saw some fantastic other remedies. In fact, I love them all. we've got ginger and garlic on the list and turmeric as well. And you could almost just about make a nice soup and natto miso. I could just about imagine a beautiful broth or soup that you could make every day with those things. So ginger, fantastic. Garlic, turmeric. Turmeric's also anti-inflammatory. Natto miso. So, yeah. David, maybe talk to us a little bit about those spices, or I guess that's what they are, those remedies.
Yeah, well, there's a number of foods that you can take as natural blood thinners. And as you just mentioned, Manisha, I try and use a little piece of ginger every day. I have a daily juice. I juice a lemon, including pith and pips and everything. I juice that every day. And if I've got some ginger in the fridge at the time, I'll just throw in a little piece of ginger the size of a large fingernail. Something like that, and juice that in as well. So there's those products. There's also a number of foods in addition to the supplements that do thin your blood. And it's almost like if you're eating a really good diet of real foods, your blood is likely to be thinner than otherwise. The other things I take are borax. That's the only supplement that I really do take every day, and I've taken for a couple of decades now. So boron is a blood thinner.
Boron as in borax.
Which you can make yourself, is a blood thinner. Turmeric and ginger, as we've mentioned. Garlic, as we've mentioned. Pineapple has a very useful blood thinning enzyme in it. Apple cider vinegar is a blood thinner. And as you said, natto miso. So maybe we can look at them in each in a little bit more detail. But what it boils down to is avoiding processed foods, in particular avoiding sugar and avoiding refined carbohydrates. They're almost like blood thickeners. Mm. They're associated with diabetes. And diabetes at the opposite end of the spectrum is associated with blood thickening, with circulatory problems, and a lot of heart disease and high blood pressure.
Mm, that's great. You've got apple cider vinegar on your list, and we won't dive into that too much, but that's one of those remedies that's used for so many things. We're actually devoting a whole episode to apple cider vinegar, so we can dive into that really deeply in that episode. But yes, apple cider vinegar and a little bit of water every day is also helpful for thinning the blood. So that's a really good one to know. And the other one that came up, which I just think is so simple, is water. I think that's just so fantastic that you added that. And in fact, I was going to mention that when people have a live blood analysis and they have a look at their blood underneath a microscope, there can be a huge difference just taking a glass of water. It seems to instantly make their blood more patent, more flowing, more less clotty, less sticky. So yes, water, simple water, drinking enough of that is so essential. I'm glad you added that.
Yeah. It's funny, there's a fine line to walk on between drinking too much water and not drinking enough. Many people drink too much water, particularly those who are health conscious. So I think of people that go to a gathering of some sort, and I'm sitting around looking at who's there, and many of the people in the gathering have a water bottle with them, and they're taking a sip every 5 or 10 minutes. Those people, perversely, may be drinking too much water. Mm. But the other side of it is that many people are also dehydrated and they don't even know it.
I think that would be
the worst situation with being dehydrated is if you go into an old people's home. So many elderly who are sitting around, not very active, not sweating at all or very much at all, and they're just not being reminded to drink enough, they're far more likely to be dehydrated. It's quite easy to drink too much or too little.
Mm. Yes, so water, I think, is important to remember to drink. The most people that I know, not most people, but many people I know have hot cuppers, might have a hot chocolate or a hot coffee or then some other beverage which is not that pure water, which I actually think the pure water is really essential to our blood to keep it nice and patent.
Mm. But there's a very simple test to see whether you're drinking enough water, and that's looking at your pee. It should ideally be lightly colored and not have a strong smell. But if you look at your pee and it's the color of tea, or you can smell it, you may not be drinking enough.
Mm.
But on the other hand, if your pee looks just like water and it's got absolutely no smell at all, then you're probably drinking too much water.
Yes, indeed. So additional to these fantastic remedies that you've put together, I'll just go through them again. You've got cayenne, you've got ginger, garlic, turmeric, kombucha, a fermented drink, pineapple, apple cider vinegar, water, of course, natto miso. They're the main ones that I've got from you. I've also got a few more to add here with my experience using herbal medicine. There's a few that really stand out that I wanted to share. The first one is white willow bark, and white willow bark has the natural salicylates in them, which aspirin is, of course, made from. So before there was the synthetic form of aspirin, white willow bark was one of the main sources of these salicylates that would keep the blood thin. So the white willow bark is also good for other things that aspirin treats, for example, inflammation and pain. So that's one very good one. DMSO, I think we might, David, dedicate another whole episode just to DMSO. It's one of my total favorites. There's so much to share on this. By the way, DMSO stands for dimethyl sulfoxide, and it's has a garlic, it's a liquid which has a garlic odor. It's made as a byproduct from making paper, usually from pine trees. And it's extremely good for keeping the blood patent, the blood thin, the blood moving. And it's one of those fantastic ones. In fact, DMSO could be used with any of these other remedies that you've mentioned to enhance their effect. So there's DMSO. And the other one I wanted to mention is, we call it Dan Shen. It's a Chinese herb. That's spelt D-A-N-S-H-E-N. It also comes under the common name of Chinese sage or Salvia miltzoria. I hope I've said that correct, the Latin name. Chinese sage or Dan Shen has been used in Chinese medicine for eons, to particularly for cardiovascular clots or issues, heart attacks or blockage of the arteries. And it's one of the top ones if anyone does have any problems with heart issues, a higher risk of heart attack or strokes, then Dan Shen is one that I would be recommending people to have. And most herbalists are familiar with this herb now. It's become quite popular. So you can find that in a liquid extract, or you can also cook it up. It's the actual root of the plant. And sometimes there's even tablets available. So that's probably one of my top ones as well. And as well as that, I wanted to mention essential oils. Often people forget how potent essential oils are, and they can be used for all sorts of things. But I thought I would just quickly check my trusty resource book, which it's just fantastic, well-researched, for seeing which essential oils might actually thin the blood. So I came up with a few here, and we've got clove oil. I love clove oil. So yep, that's something. Wintergreen, and interestingly, wintergreen also is fantastic for inflammation and pain. And nutmeg, lemon, and grapefruit essential oils. So fantastic things to know. So we've got quite a list for you here, and I'm really hoping that you, all our listeners, might take this information and run with it. And if you know somebody, or if it's yourself that you're a bit concerned, might have clotty blood, to really take some of these remedies on a daily basis. And they're natural. Mm. As David said, they don't have the side effects that pharmaceutical blood thinners have. So, David, is there anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Actually, just talking of essential oils, one more essential oil that I have used regularly is rosemary essential oil. Mm. It's widely and easily available. It's one of the less expensive essential oils. Mm-hmm. And it's, I believe it, I wouldn't be surprised if it's got blood thinning properties, but it's a very good oil for older people. And I thoroughly recommend that as a general health provider.
Absolutely.
Rosemary in whatever you're eating, and you know, just chop it very finely, a little pinch of fresh rosemary in your salads or cooking or whatever, and using the oil as well on your skin, mm-hmm. in your bath, or however you enjoy it.
Yes, that's fantastic, David. I wanted to remind people that our skin is really so highly absorptive. Basically, it absorbs whatever we put on our skin. We must remember that so that we're very choosy about what we put on our skin. But I also wanted to let you listeners know that if you want to deliver a medicine that you don't want to take via your mouth, often through the skin is a perfect way to get the remedy into your body. And particularly if you mix it with or apply some of the DMSO after you've applied the essential oil or whatever it is you're putting on your skin, because the DMSO acts as a carrier into the blood very effectively, very quickly. So, yes, I wanted to remind you that. And as I'm speaking, there's even something else I wanted to mention just before signing off. And that is that with my live blood analysis work, I do have a microscope, and from time to time I grab it out and do my work. One of the things that I've noticed clots up the blood really aggressively, and I want to share this with the listeners, that is being exposed to electromagnetic fields. If you've got your fingers on the computer or on your phone, or you're really in close proximity to a smart device or a modem, the blood will invariably clot up very quickly. I've seen it in my own eyes. I've done tests with it. And because we live in a society now where there's so much exposure to electromagnetic radiation, I wanted to warn people about that, really to be a little bit more careful about how much exposure you actually do have. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that, Manisha. And I think it comes down to using wired devices rather than Wi-Fi where you can. Mm-hmm. And turning off your Wi-Fi at night or when you're not using it. Turn it off when you go to bed rather Absolutely. Than leaving it on somewhere near you.
Yes, totally agree. Very good advice. All right, I think we've left you all with some pretty good information to digest. So thank you, David, once again. And thank you, listeners. And we'll sign off for now. See you at our next episode.
Thanks, Manisha.
Bye.